this retro thing for what it is. Nostalgia goggles heavy on those things when we were kids. I've got the memories of falling while my hair is turning gray. I'm thinking back on all the things that were better yesterday. So for all those things nostalgic, I ask of you is to like this. So for all those things nostalgic, I ask of you is to like this.
Hello and welcome to another episode of So Do We Still Like This, episode 93 or 4, one of them. Time has no meaning anymore. And joining me once again
is Kim.
I just called you a pro before we started recording.
I didn't know we were doing this. This is the second time we're doing this, and the second time I'm confused about my name.
This is almost an emergency episode that we have, because we brought you in again really quickly.
Yeah.
Because of a post you made on Facebook revealing that you just watched Tremors, the 1990 Kevin Bacon classic, for the first time.
Yeah.
And I saw that and pounced on it like a leopard pounces on its prey.
Like immediately, 0.5 seconds went by and I had a message from you.
Yeah, we don't mess around on this show. We have feelers everywhere. And I had a little alarm that went off that went first time Tremors viewer. So I jumped on the internet and immediately had to say, like, did you just watch, like, in all caps, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And I feel good that, like, I have you there coaching me through my film choices. It's actually a really nice feeling.
I can't believe it took you 30. Oh my gosh. It's been 30 years since Tremors.
Yeah.
When did it open?
I did watch, it's like 90, it's early 90s. I can't remember. We looked it up and then I forgot. But I did watch, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw like 5 minutes of it when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And my grandparents and my parents thought that this would be the best movie to put on to distract their young child. And it freaked me out. I couldn't watch it.
So it was a trauma thing.
It was so traumatizing, which is why I had to go back and watch it as a 30-year-old adult to, like, relive that trauma and see that everything was okay.
And for a split second when you started that and you said, I didn't watch all of it. I didn't realize you were telling the backstory and thought you were about to reveal, oh, I haven't finished the movie yet. Is that going to be a problem?
No. We made it right to the credits where Reba McEntire sings her beautiful song.
So what made you decide this is the time? It's Tremors time.
It was on Netflix and I was bored.
Okay.
That was it.
That's fair.
And I don't know if you noticed lately, but I'm kind of moving through Netflix really quickly. So I'm running out of good things to watch on Netflix.
Uh-oh, you've almost finished Netflix.
Yeah. No, there's a lot there. It's just there's a lot I'm not really interested in. But Tremors spoke to me.
How many Tremors movies do you think there are?
There's 5. I looked it up.
Oh, no, Kimberly.
No?
There are 6 with a 7th on the way later this year.
No.
Yep.
Okay. Have you seen any of the later ones?
I have seen all of them.
Of course you have.
I haven't seen them in a while. I'm planning to keep going because I watched this one out of a box set that has the first 4. And I haven't seen them since college where we just decided, hey, every like Tuesday, let's watch the next Tremors movie.
And Tuesdays is a good movie to watch. It's a good day to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Tuesday speaks, I'm ready for some Tremors.
Yeah. What else are you doing on a Tuesday? Plus, there's alliteration there with Tremors Tuesday, so maybe that was part of it. I don't remember.
Oh, that's clever.
Not really. I just said the name of the movie and the day of the week. But thank you. At the time, there was only the 4, and then there was this huge gap of about 14, 15 years, and then all of a sudden 5, and then a couple years later 6, and a couple years after that, we're getting 7. They stopped numbering them after 5.
But what's the deal? Are we just watching the same premise over and over again? Or is it actually a developing story?
It is actually a developing story. There is only one character after part 2 that has continued to come back. Can you guess what character that is if you haven't already looked it up?
I've already looked it up. It's a minor character, isn't it? I don't know his name.
It is Burt Gummer, Reba McEntire's husband in the first movie.
Oh, I thought it was somebody else. I thought it was another person. Sticks around. What happens to Reba?
I think there's a throw, because in the second one, I don't think she's in it either. I think there's just some throwaway line about...
like, she died.
You know, oh, you haven't been the same since so-and-so left. And then that's it. Like, we did it. That's why she's... I think she leaves him.
Well, I mean, it'd be too dark if she died. Yeah, she didn't really have a big part except... we need guns, and we need somebody else to shoot the guns. Like, that's her role in this movie, is just, use that gun, take this gun, shoot more. Those are her lines.
That is, okay, that is valid. I guess we should set up the premise of Tremors. I always forget, because I always refer to the monsters themselves as Tremors. That's not at all the case. But
what? I thought that was the case. That was where the title came from.
Well, the title comes from the fact that the graboids, which is actually what the monsters are called, are causing tremors by moving along under the ground. Like, that's how discover they're down there. It's like, what are these earth tremors? Oh, those monsters.
Can you name that monster again?
Graboid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because they grab you. And they're kind of like snakes?
Yeah, they're like a snake and a worm mixed together.
Yeah, and so these worms are discovered on the outskirts of a small town named Perfection, which has a population of, I believe, 13 people, the sign said.
13 Perfection. Or 14. How did you take this all in from watching the movie?
I've seen this movie a lot of times.
Okay. Because my takeaway from this movie was just like, what the hell is happening right now? I did not pay attention to any of the little details.
I don't think it's a little detail. They say Perfection a lot of times, I think.
Yeah, I'm not good with names.
And the two leads, Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, are like these two handymen, I guess?
Yeah.
Who live in the town? We don't learn too much about the inner workings of the town or why people would ever live there, because as far as I can tell, the only business is the market. And the
this
only...
This isn't a character-based narrative that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I guess. Also, the market, the only people buying anything at the market are the other 12 people who live in Perfection. It kind of establishes that Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward do odd jobs around Perfection and also out, you know, neighboring small towns. And then we have the one guy, the uncle from Three Ninjas, who runs Chang's Market. But it doesn't really establish what is anyone else doing there. Why would you ever want to be there?
They're there to die. They're there for the plot twists in the movie.
There's the body count for this movie, I guess it's pretty high in the beginning.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that die in really traumatizing ways.
Yeah, really? I don't know. Who
The car? The car scene really bothered me. I was crying. It was so it was so sad.
I guess.
Just like a married couple, they're building their house, it's their new future, and then they just die, and you have to be there while the woman is dying, and it takes a while for her to go.
The husband said, oh yeah, I guess we should finish with the premise. There are big worms under the ground and they can sense your movement, the vibrations that you're creating.
Yeah.
On the surface. And that's how they get you. But yeah, the husband's death is actually, I found a little worse, because he's holding, like, he and the wife are probably, let's assume they're old. They've probably been together, what, 30, 35 years?
A while, yeah.
Minimum.
They're living in this town where nothing happens. So they've been together since they were like, what, 8?
Probably.
Yeah.
You're the only other person my age of the opposite gender. So I guess we're together.
Exactly.
Like, eventually, once there's like 2 kid-aged people in this, one boy, one girl. So I assume once they get older, they just have to get together. Because
they're going to get married. Wait, yeah. There's not a Tremors like 8 with them hooking up?
No, by Tremors 5, it's just about Burt Gummer meeting his estranged son, Jamie Kennedy. And I think they went to Canada in the last one because there's snow tremors. And then the next one, they go to an island where people are hunting them for sport, like hunting the Graboids for sport.
Okay, you're actually selling these movie plots to me. Now I have to go watch all of these.
Here's the interesting thing about Tremors 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, is none of them are that bad, if I remember right. Like, I remember watching 2, 3, 4 in college and thinking, these are better than they have any right to be. And I saw 5 and 6 pretty recently, and it's kind of the same. They're not great, but for the 5th and 6th installments of the Tremors franchise, they're better than they have any right to be.
Damn, that's actually really surprising. Because mm-hmm. Where can you take this story? Like, I guess they're showing you where you can take it.
Yeah, to Canada. To an Canada? Island.
Yeah.
I think 2 and 3 are still pretty much in the desert. 4 is a prequel that takes place during the Wild West.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah. There's a backstory. Yeah, again, not to any of the characters, but to the monsters themselves.
Except, here's the thing. Burt Gummer plays Michael Gross plays Burt Gummer's, like, great-great-great-grandfather. So there kind of is a backstory
to
the characters. And kind of a depressing fact, in, I think, 2018, Kevin Bacon filmed the pilot for a TV show based on Tremors where he came back as his character almost 30 years later, and the Sci-Fi Network chose not to pick it up.
I bet they're regretting that right now.
I would think so. I don't, it must have been real bad for them to make that decision, because the Sci-Fi Network will air anything you give them.
Maybe it was too good. That was the problem.
Maybe. If we went into our backyard right now wearing Halloween costumes and pretending to fight aliens and sent it to Sci-Fi, they'd go, I guess.
I mean,
Fridays at 8.
That's a challenge I'm ready to accept.
It's barely a challenge. So I don't know what made them. Like, these are the guys who did the Sharknado movies, I'm pretty sure. These are the guys who do three-headed shark attack and four-headed shark attack and five-headed shark attack.
Okay, so if you change the Tremor monster and make it a shark, then that's sold.
Well, that's just Land Shark. I think Sci-Fi already made that movie. And Land Shark 2 and Land Shark versus Three-Headed Shark.
Yeah, I don't know.
The extended Sharkiverse.
I'm up for the Tremors sequels. I'm not really up for any of this.
But, no.
Okay, I do have a question for you, though, because while watching this movie, I have two questions for you. One, I think this was one of two movies that I've seen with Kevin Bacon. So what's his deal? What does he do? And two, if you were in this movie, what would you have done?
Those are two very different questions.
They're very different questions. And so
I can answer both pretty accurately, I think.
You would be Kevin Bacon.
What does Kevin Bacon do? Simple answer, act real good.
He was good. He and his partner had like a lot of really great chemistry in this movie.
Yeah. And I've read mixed that apparently while filming this, Kevin Bacon viewed it as his career ending. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this movie about underground worms. But then after that, apparently he reflects back very fondly on his time with Tremors. I mean, he did that TV show, and he doesn't have to. Kevin Bacon isn't starved for work, so he would only have done that if he actually wanted to make a Tremors show.
What is his most famous movie?
Probably this yesterday's newest episode of So Do We Still Like This, Footloose, is
right.
Definitely up there.
Right, which I haven't seen.
And then he's also, A Few Good Men and Sleepers. He just shows up in a lot of good ensembles, too. I think Mystic River, he's in that. But in terms of Kevin Bacon movies, I would say probably Footloose followed Tremors is actually probably up there. People must be fond of them because they've made 7 of them. So someone out there keeps watching them besides me.
I can't believe that. I mean, I'm watching them now, so I'm hooked.
I am just going to do the classic, let's look at Kevin Bacon's IMDb page and see what his most, this claims he's also known for Hollow Man.
Harlem. I haven't seen that. Maybe it's just my problem. Maybe it's not Kevin Bacon. Maybe it's me. I just haven't seen his movies.
It's definitely kind of you if you haven't seen many Kevin Bacon movies. He's made a lot of really good ones.
I know. Okay, I will, as homework after this episode, I will watch nothing but Kevin Bacon movies.
Okay, perfect. He's in 96 of them, so you got a lot. But I mean, some of those are shorts and some of those are TV shows, so... And some of them you can skip. Don't bother with RIPD, but...
I don't even know what that is.
That's the only one. The rest you should probably watch, actually.
Okay, so 95 of these things I'm going to watch.
Great. He was also in 2 episodes of Will and Grace as himself.
Oh, see, I knew that. That's where I knew him from then.
Oh, God. The only person on this planet who looks at Kevin Bacon and goes, oh, he was on Will and Grace for 2 episodes.
Will and Grace. Will and Grace is a great show. But yeah, Will and Grace was like my entry into like, here's a bunch of famous actors you should know. Like Lily Tomlin. I guess I knew Lily Tomlin from the Magic School Bus, but I didn't see her until Will and Grace, and she was, I think, Will's boss or something.
I have no idea. I did not watch Will and Grace.
Scandalous.
Nah, not really.
I mean, you've made it up by seeing most of the Tremors movies.
Exactly. How about, I don't have time for Will and Grace. I'm too busy. They make a new Tremors movie every 2 years, so that's where my time has to go.
Priorities. I get it. Yeah, that makes sense.
To answer your second question about if I was in this movie, what would I do? I can tell you, while I was watching the movie, so here's a dark game to play. When you're watching a movie like this, or a horror movie where people are trying to get out of a situation, you can usually pinpoint the exact moment where you're like, well, that would be it for me right there. And for me, it's pretty close to the beginning of this movie, where they're Fred Ward, Kevin Bacon, and this college grad who becomes part of their group because she's there to study what's up with these weird readings I'm getting. And then it turns out, oh God, underground snake worms. They're all hiding up on these rocks. So the monster can't get them, but they discover that the monster is very patient and it will just wait for you below the rock until eventually you come down, which they established earlier because they find a guy at the top of like a telephone tower or something.
That was also very traumatizing. The old man who dehydrated.
He stayed up there and died of thirst because, the worm just waited him out. So to get across these rocks and to the truck, they find these long poles. And she's like, I hope you guys know how to pole vault. And I don't. So that would have been it for me.
So that's how you would die.
From rock to rock. And I would be just back on rock one going like, guys, I can't. I tried and I can't. You go. So that's my answer to your question. I would have died at the pole vaulting part.
You would have made it through a good chunk of that movie, though. You would have made it through a really good chunk of that movie because they don't pole jump for a while.
That's the literal first time they discover there are monsters, isn't it?
I don't remember. Everything's kind of a blur.
I'm pretty sure
everything in my mind, every plot detail is based on, oh no, the worms are here, which is just all the same moment for me.
The worms do show up a lot. It's a very fast-paced movie, which I appreciate. There's not a lot of downtime in this. Like, they have their set pieces. They have a list of, all right, well, if we're making a movie about worms under the ground, what are all the things we would want them to do? And then they just check each box one by one. We want it to pull a car under the ground with somebody in it. Done. We want it to smash through the bottom of a store and pull people under the ground through, like, a building. We want it to tear buildings down and... Yeah, I guess
that was kind of a hilarious moment, though, when they're like, they realize early on that when they put the characters up on buildings, that not much can happen unless the worms start attacking the building.
And that's another thing I like about this movie is that the worms get smarter and adapt. So they have to keep figuring things out. It's not just, okay, well, as long as they're elevated, they're fine. The worms that start to eventually figure out like, okay, well, if you're up on that building, I can just tear this building down to the ground and get you. So it ups the stakes. Or ways that they kill one worm don't work on the next one because the next worm has figured out, oh, I see what you did. Okay. Nope. Not going to fall for that.
How do they kill the lot? Are we allowed to spoil plot details on this?
Of course. We always assume people have seen the thing we're talking about.
Okay, good. How did they kill the last one? Because I remember they're throwing the bombs around because guns aren't enough in this movie. You got to have explosions.
Yep.
And they're throwing the bombs around, and then one worm is like, I'm way too smart, and spits it back out. So then how do they get him?
So okay, yes. At the end of the movie, we'll skip right to that. They are all once again trapped on top of a rock because, again, the worms have figured out they're driving this bulldozer, basically.
It's a tractor, and they hooked up. What did they hook up to the back of it?
Like a trailer that they can pull everybody in.
Right. So they're all together where they could all, they literally put all their eggs in one basket. They could all die in this moment.
Well, they would have all died if they stayed back at the town.
But they would have died individually.
But this
like
was
you would have had to go through and be like, oh no, that person's dead. Oh no, now they're dying. But now they're like, let's just die together.
So is that what your answer to what would you do in this movie is? Is guys, I think we should just stay and die one by one.
I would be dead by the opening credits because it would be like Tremors. We're like, oh hell no, and just walk out of this movie.
Well, that's not dying. That's just bailing.
Well, I would like death walk out. Like I would die of a heart attack or something.
There's a guy who dehydrated up there. Kim, where are you going?
I would just, nope. That would be my version of this movie. It would be me as Kevin Bacon seeing the guy on the post who is dehydrated and then wonder why he's like that and be like, you know what? I'm out.
No good reason. I'm bailing.
No, I would die at the beginning of a heart attack because they would tell me that these things exist and I'd be like, oh my God. Or I would be that annoying ass kid who's like, hey, I'm gonna make fun of this because I'm actually compensating for how scared I am.
Oh, Melvin.
Yeah, and then somebody would just shoot me. I wouldn't even die from the worms. Somebody would just shoot me because I would be so annoying.
And everyone would just like, yeah, I didn't see anything. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was the worms.
Oh no, they can operate guns now or something. It doesn't matter.
That's the next movie.
I hope not.
I could see it going there.
Yeah, apparently, this is a side thing, but apparently there was once a rumor that Jurassic Park 4 was going to be about dinosaurs who could wield guns.
I think I heard something about that.
Dinosaur soldiers.
Yeah. But yep. Why? Because they know how to use the guns, or they were just invented with guns on them?
I think more the second thing. I don't know.
See, that's stupid. But give me a plot where they learn how to use a gun. Sold.
Instead of going that direction, they just made Jurassic Park again. So I guess we'll never know. Oh, well. What was I saying? So they're getting away in this bulldozer thing that weighs 30 tons. So they're all, you know, confident that the worms can't pull it under the ground. But the worms, Kim, they figured it out and they set a trap. So they basically burrow a hole in front of their path so that they sink. And then, so they have to run to this rock. And at this point, there are two of the four worms left. Number one was killed because they're running away from it and it slams into like the side of a dam or whatever you call that thing that they drive in Terminator 2 when they're trying to get away from the truck. What is that called?
What do you mean, the motorbike?
Yeah. They're driving through. Oh, like
they're in that thing. In
like the pipe.
I don't know what that thing's called. That's just a weird thing that appears only in action movies.
Apparently from the early 90s. So
we need
they're
that
running
thing.
Yeah, they're basically running and they jump into that and the worm smashes into the side. So that's how they kill the first one. The second one bursts into Burt Gummer and Reba McEntire. I don't remember her character's name. Into their, like,
her name is Reba McEntire in the movie.
She might be playing herself because she does sing a song during the end credits. So
yeah,
I would not be surprised. Yeah, the worm busts into their like doomsday bunker, where it is revealed they have lots and lots and lots of guns, and they just shoot it until it dies. And then the third one is when they're trapped on the rock, and they basically Bert has brought all these homemade bombs, and they tie it to the end of a rope. And fish with it, and the worm swallows it and blows up. And then worm four goes, oh shit, I see what you did there. And when they try it again, he spits the bomb back at them, blows up their other bombs, and forces them off of the rock.
Right.
And they kill him. Kevin Bacon starts running from it, gets to the edge of a cliff, and then throws, because they've established that the bomb going off messes with their hearing, and it just kind of freaks them out, and they scurry away. So he throws the bomb behind it, so when it goes off, its natural reaction is to move forward to get away from it, thus propelling itself off the edge of the cliff.
I think I missed that entire, that last little bit. I think at that point, I was just talking to my partner, like, what is happening here? And then we got distracted talking about it. I missed that last part.
Well, then we shouldn't even be recording this.
Like, I remember they're on the rock, and the thing spits the bomb back out onto their other bombs, and then credits. That's what I remember.
The ending of your version is much darker, because that's just the bombs blowing up and them going, guys, there's nothing we can do. And there's then it slowly pans out on them on the rock, insinuating, this is it. Credits.
See, I would watch that movie. That's a great movie.
That is not a great movie. That is a comedy horror that in its final 2 minutes just goes pure existential crisis and goes, there's no hope, guys. And then that Reba McEntire song would still kick in as it panned back.
See, I think that would be good. And then you have to start the next one on that rock. And then somebody would die, because somebody would get annoyed at somebody else and they would just start shooting each other. This is brilliant.
So your version of Tremors 2, there are no monsters except for humans. Humans are the real monsters. And it's just people trapped on a rock turning against each other.
Yeah, yeah. That's the real tremor. That's the thing that interrupts everybody's relationship.
I don't think they would have made four more of your Tremors.
Yeah, they're really more just like, let's get rid of the dialogue and have shouting and gunshots. A lot of those.
Wait, in this one or the sequels?
No, just in this one. That was their version of a storytelling.
There's some gunshots. There's a lot of gunshots in that one scene, but...
There's just so many gunshots. That's what I'm saying. There's no room for dialogue. It's just like, pew, 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 and then that's it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of appreciated that you get to know enough about the two leads and the characters without having to spend 10 minutes with them on a roof going like, man, did I ever tell you about my time in the war and that's why I'm so good with guns? Or did I tell you about my ex-girlfriend and God, I hope I get a chance. Like, there's none of that. We learn a little bit about everybody at the beginning. Small town. These guys do odd jobs. He has an ex. They want to get out of this small town and plan and do dreams. And from that point on, most of the dialogue is just, fuck, what are we going to do about these worms?
And then it turns into like a weird love story at the end, right? Like, which I didn't understand, because I thought that woman, the researcher, was in love with the older guy. I don't know their names, so I'm just going to describe them. I know you said them a bunch of times.
I've said the actors' names. Kevin Bacon's character's name is Val, short for Valentine.
Ew.
I'm honestly having a little trouble thinking of the other guy's name, which is bugging me, because again, I just watched this. Like, I finished it last night. Earl. The other guy's name is Earl.
Right.
Apparently, Reba McEntire's name is Heather. So, there you go.
Yeah, so I just forgot all the names that you just told me, except Val. Val and Heather.
And Earl.
And Earl, okay. So, I thought Earl was going to follow, what, the researcher is Heather?
Yeah, no.
So I
Heather is
Earl...
Reba McEntire. The researcher is...
Just researcher, just woman.
None of this looks right. Rhonda.
Rhonda. What an odd name.
Who I'm mustn't sorry have for done all much Rhonda's acting listening. After this, because her profile picture is just a screen grab from Tremors. No, she doesn't really do much acting anymore.
But did you think that that's how it was going to end? That Kevin Bacon, he's just Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon, Val was going to end up with Rhonda.
Yeah, they established it.
There was no... How? Like, when she shows up at the truck, he's just, like, off, not saying anything, and it's Earl who's doing all... He's doing the sweet-talking. I for sure thought they were going to end up together.
Because before that, when they're driving to see her, Kevin Bacon is listing off his fantasy woman's traits, which is like green eyes and amazing legs and all this stuff. And then Earl's like, you know, you got to stop putting all women in this tiny little box. Like, it never works out for you. You need to, you know, get out there and take a chance. So he's, you know, telling him this is a, you know, after their talk, he's kind of pushing him like, you know, hey, get in there, talk to her. And then he doesn't still really, doesn't but then they go through sense. This traumatic worm thing together. And at the end, they're like, oh my God, I'm really amped up on worm adrenaline. Let's do it.
But are they really together while it's happening? Like, the whole community's together. There's no love story here. It's just like, oh, we're all scared together.
I mean, it could also just be one of those things where the studio goes, gotta have a love story. It's like, well, these are the only two age-appropriate opposite gender people that we can pair up. So they can kiss at the end. Does that work? It's like, well, it's better than the ending of having them die on the rock.
I think there was a line, like, this was the closest that they got to hinting at a love story when they're all kind of trapped in the village and the worms are there. And somebody uses a line that has the word penetrate in it. And that was like the one, like, oh, this is actually going to be a love story. That was the way of them hinting that this is a love story.
I did not pick up on that at all. So.
I did, because it was kind of awkward. And it's just like the worms are, you know, standing in for something else. They can be a symbol for something else. And they're like, oh no, the worms are going to penetrate this thing. And it was disgusting. It was so gross.
Are you sure you weren't watching a different movie?
Maybe. I mean, I didn't see the ending.
Were you watching the porn parody of Tremors?
Maybe I was. I didn't.
Pelvic Tremors?
Oh, that's so gross. That's so, 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 so gross.
You know, I can't imagine that exists, but if that franchise is still going, someone's got to make it.
Yeah, it's definitely there. I mean, that probably existed before Tremors did. And then somebody saw the porn and was like, we got to make this a new movie. Family friendly, although not really family friendly.
Not really, but apparently, another fun fact, it was originally going to be less family friendly. And I read this before I watched it this time, and you can really notice. It was originally rated R and filmed to be rated R with a lot more language, but they censored it. So now you only get the one. When they kill the first one, Kevin Bacon yells, fuck you.
But really, the language is the problem here.
But because all the violence is just worms exploding and like pretty graphically. But again, these things aren't real, so it doesn't matter. No one's bothered by it.
I just like the scene with the construction workers, and what's the idea that his head imploded in his helmet? I don't know. There is a lot of blood and goriness, and it was really hard for me to get through it.
It's implied, but you don't see a lot of it. Like when the worm pulls people into the ground, blood isn't spurting up from the sand or anything. It's just them. Oh, I never finished talking about the doctor's death being disturbing. As he clings to his longtime wife, begging her to please help and to not let this happen.
Yeah.
And then she can't. But then it's okay, because she dies too.
But what's her way of helping? It's like to hand him a board.
Yeah.
Here, hang on to this board, honey.
Which snaps in half immediately. And she looks stunned that her plan has fallen apart.
Yeah. And then, what is it? She goes into her car and she can't drive off because he had the keys?
Yep.
Plot twist. Did not see that coming.
I mean, not really. Oh yeah, I was talking about how it was scaled back to be PG-13. So you can definitely tell in some parts, because they at one point refer to the worms as mother humpers. Apparently that is not what they originally called them. And if you look after he says, like, you know, we killed that mother humper over the radio, Kevin Bacon on camera says, that's great, but please note that there are two more mother humpers. And if you watch his mouth, he is definitely not saying humpers.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And but is mother humper really better than the actual word they wanted to use?
Apparently. And there's another one, too, near the end, when right before they, or I guess it's as they kill the last one and he goes off the cliff, Kevin Bacon yells, can you fly, you sucker? Also not the original word, which is kind of too bad, because a lot of it does sound super lame when they have to say stuff like mother humper.
I mean, I think this was one of the moments that made me miss the ending because I just had to replay that part to make sure I heard it correctly. Like, what is this thing they're telling me right now?
There's another, it's one of those weird things where they make a PG-13 movie about a situation where everybody would be cursing all of the time constantly. Like, I'm pretty sure that's, if you were dealing with giant worms, you would just be doing nothing but dropping F-bombs. There's one part where Kevin Bacon is making a run for that tank bulldozer thing they're going to drive, and he has to stop because one of the worms is chasing him, and there's this cool sequence where he has to like stand still and keep like, you'll have to like stand on one foot so the worm can't find him as this little worm head searches around. But they start making noise to distract the worm back, and they're all yelling like, "You stupid puss bucket!" He's like, "That's not what you'd be saying." Like, I get it, PG-13, but no one would be up there going like, "You gross worm!" You like, no, no. Even the worm would be like, "That's all you got? I'm gonna stay here."
I'm pretty sure there wasn't a lot of thought put into the dialogue, anyways. So I think more thought was put into not writing of the script, but actually replacing the bad words.
I don't know. I actually think the writing's kind of good. Like, it's funny, but it's not, it's treading a pretty good line between comedy and horror. Like, the characters are funny. Like you said, there's good chemistry between the two leads. Even when things are bad, like there's like jokes here and there, but it never does that in sacrifice of the stakes that they're faced with.
I love how as you're saying this, and probably people are going to hear this, but there's a garbage truck outside of my window right now, and it's very loud.
I mean, that'll happen. I can't edit that out. You can go out and yell at them and say, like, hey.
Yeah.
Not the time, guys. Honestly, I'm surprised garbage is being collected because it's a holiday, but.
Yeah, yeah. That's just the reality of downtown living.
That's too bad for them.
But I mean, as you're trying to make a plea for this movie, the garbage truck is like, no, this is stupid.
I don't actually have a sense if you enjoyed this movie yet.
Oh, no, I did enjoy it. I am just, it's one of those movies that is perfect if you just want to have a good time.
Yes.
Like, it's beautifully made, but it's just so awkward to walk away and be like, huh. That's how I spent my time.
No, as someone who has seen this movie at least 5 times and all of the sequels at least once, I have never once walked away and went, well, I don't know about that.
This is exactly that. I said these words out loud after watching the movie. It's like, huh, that was something.
It's 95 minutes. What else were you going to do with 95 minutes that was better than this? Probably it's not true. Many things.
It's true. It was a conversation starter. It stayed with me. I clearly, like, it made me feel good. Reba McEntire, like, just seeing Reba McEntire in a movie. Like, what has she done except for her show Reba? Like, she's a great actress.
She is pretty good in this. And, you get to see Reba McEntire dual-wield pistols as she fires into the gaping maw of a giant underground worm, so.
I think my favorite part with her, though, was, because this was my moment of outrage. Like, the moment of outrage for me is, so they're collecting all the people in that wagon thing they've created, and they're going to get to the rocks. And so they've stopped to pick up Reba McEntire and her husband, and he is just taking his sweet time getting into the wagon. And she starts yelling at him, like, I will leave you behind if you don't get in this wagon.
He is taking a very long time.
He takes so long. And for what? So he can catch, like, he's
getting her opinion on
bombs.
Guns that they should bring with them.
But he's doing it so slowly. And then the worms start attacking, and he's like, yeah, I just need, like, 5 more minutes, guys. 5 more minutes.
He does make a fair point when they're trapped on the rock at the end of the movie, that when he says, we could have stayed back and made a stand at my place. He did have a lot more guns that they hadn't gotten to yet.
It's
a
true.
A lot more.
Yeah, because what was the idea? They were going to the rocks and all they took with them was guns. Nobody brought food.
No. Well, I mean, the market was being torn apart from under them. So we can assume there was no way to get in and get food. Although I think the mom and daughter were just at their house. So they could have been like, I have some sandwiches.
And the mom didn't really have much to do in this movie except, where's my daughter? And then caress her daughter out of fear.
I kind of kept forgetting those characters were even there until I would see a shot of them on the rock and go, oh yeah, they're just kind of along for the ride.
I think the other characters also forgot they were there because they're like, oh fuck, we gotta go pick up these guys.
It is kind of cool though how many of the main characters are still alive at the end. Because you figure Melvin's gonna get it at some point because they set it up that, you know, everybody hates Melvin and everyone wants to kick Melvin's ass and he's this little, you know, always boy who cried wolf and shit, and he gets to make it. There's this other kind of side character, I honestly don't even remember his name, but he's trapped on the roof with Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he actually, I looked it up. He makes it into a few other Tremor movies.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, so that's why I was like, is he the character who lives
I mean, I guess maybe, but yeah, he gets to live. I mean, they can't kill the mom or the daughter. That's way too sad for a movie of this tone, but
They could have. I mean, they killed
They could have, but that would have been such a dark, like, now we have to acknowledge that this kid is an orphan twist and...
No. I'm actually surprised that she didn't die when she's on that, what is it called, a pogo stick?
Pogo stick.
Yeah, a very 90s toy. When she's on that, listening to her Walkman.
My favorite death in the movie is, again, a character whose name I don't remember. He is on the roof of, like, a shack, and the worms tear it down, and they're yelling at him, like, you gotta get to higher ground! And he gets on top of a spare tire, and just kind of lies in the hole, and as they're saying... That's not good enough. The worm just casually sucks him down and goes about its business. And it's such a quick, you just see him go like, bleh!
I think that was probably for me. Yeah, maybe that was the most traumatizing death, not because of how it was presented in the movie, but because it reminded me, I don't know if you remember this movie, but Piranha 3D.
Yeah, I do.
And there's a woman sitting in like one of those blow up tubes in the water. And that's also how she dies.
My only memory of that movie really death-wise is the woman who gets her ponytail caught in a boat motor, and then Eli Roth tries to drive the boat away really fast, and it, like, the tension pulls her face off.
I had to look away. I nearly did not make it through that movie. It was so gross, and they made several of those too, so maybe there's just a market.
Someone who has been on this podcast before, but I won't reveal which person it is because I don't know if she'll be cool with it, although I did just reveal it's a she.
Uh-oh.
We saw Piranha 3D in theaters together, and the combination of the 3D and the underwater and the gore was too much. Like, she was like, I just can't. And so during the finale, when it was just piranhas eating people and faces being pulled off, she left. And at first I was like, oh, I guess she went to the bathroom, even though she left pretty fast. So I did not do the good move of, like, after a few minutes, I should go check. I just finished the movie. It's like, you know what? This is probably almost over. And then came out, and yeah, she was in the lobby. It's like, yeah, I couldn't deal. I was like, yeah, sorry. I probably should have actually come out and checked on you. But
I mean, now I'm beginning to wonder if this is me. Did we see the movie together?
No. Okay. We did not, but... It's interesting to know that I now know two people who could not deal with Piranha 3D.
It was a lot. It was the fact that it was water. There was just a lot of horrific, horrific, bloody, horrible. I think I just closed my eyes. I stayed in the theater, but I just like closed my eyes and shoved my head into the popcorn bag.
I think that's how my wife used to survive the Saw movies before she just revealed to me that she didn't want to watch them anymore.
Oh my God, I don't think I could do a Saw movie. I mean, I think it was you who explained something about a leg breaking mechanism in one of the Saw movies.
Oh yeah, it's called the rack. Oh, twist your arms and legs around until they snap off.
So that makes me super nauseous.
yeah, it's about a 4-minute scene of watching that play out.
I can't believe your wife sat through that, wow.
On our very first date? I don't know if I've ever revealed that on this podcast, but as we get closer to 100, we might as well let the secrets out that yes, her and I's first date was to see the third Saw movie.
And so how did you both, like, was this an equal decision to go see it, or was just this like a first date move?
I pitched it as a joke because we were long distance at the time, okay. And I was coming up to visit for this specific reason.
go see a movie?
Well, to go on our date, to travel. And I was like, I'm going up to visit a friend, but like, we should get together and have dinner and go to a movie. And we're like, oh, what do you want to go see? And I was like, oh, let's see what's going to be playing. And I wrote verbatim, there's always Saw 3, ha ha. And she was like, well, I haven't seen 1 or 2. And I started to backpedal and go, oh, no, I don't think we should actually see it. And then like a couple days later, she's like, okay, I watched Saw 1 and 2. I'm caught up.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh my gosh, I guess we're actually doing it. And then when the movie came out, we were set to see it like the second night, I think it was open, like the Saturday. My brother texted me because he saw it opening night. And he's like, are you still planning to see Saw 3 with that girl? It's like, yeah. He's like, I wouldn't. I definitely would not do that. And we did, and it was very uncomfortable. But then saw 4, 5, and 6 as well. And then 7, because there are actually 7. Actually, there are 8. Actually, there are 9.
Why? Why are there so many of these movies? They're all the same premise, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, these movies are bananas. I mean, it's the same basic premise, but spoilers for the Saw franchise. I'll give people a moment if they want to turn this off. The main villain dies in 3. And they still make 5 more movies after that.
Oh my God.
So they have to get very creative about what on earth, well, you know, very, I guess. I should put it quotes, but by the time the 7th came out, we went to the theater to see it, and I could tell that she was very, like, quiet and just, like, not into it. So before we bought the tickets, I said, okay, this is your out. Do you not want to do this? She's like, I would like it if I didn't. Like, okay, can I still go see it? Like, yes, I'm going to go home. I can come pick you up later. It's like, okay. And I saw 7 alone and 8 alone. And in the original timeline before all this happened, the 9th Saw movie would have just opened this past Friday.
Oh, wow.
Starring Chris Rock, who also wrote it.
Oh, that's, I remember seeing the trailer for that actually, and that was for that movie.
Yep. It's like a Saw side story, apparently. Like, it still takes place in that world, but it's like, hey, what was happening somewhere else while all that was happening?
I think this is like a series that I will never ever watch in my life.
I wouldn't. If you buried your head in Piranha and thought some of the Tremors' death were traumatizing, yeah, I would stay far away from.
I think I even covered my eyes.
Here's a device
eyes.
That turns your limbs around in a circle till they snap off. Or here's a woman suspended above a table saw. Uh-oh.
No, you can't see it right now, but I'm like hunched over just covering my eyes as you describe this.
If you want to get the key to this thing you're trapped in, it's in a jar of acid. Keep sticking your hand in the acid to get the key.
No.
Real examples.
Because I put myself, this is a thing, like, and that's where my question to you came from. What would you have done in this movie? When I'm watching a horror movie, I actually think, like, is there a chance that I could survive this? And there's never a chance.
Nope.
And there's absolutely no chance in Saw. Like, that would be, like, even before the credits come up, my character would be like, wait a minute, and then just die of a heart attack.
Yep. Yeah, no, those movies I'm done. Anything with, like, needing to be a good swimmer, basically.
Yeah, I can't.
I can be in the water and move. It just isn't very graceful looking. And well,
I might be able to survive movies in water if I don't go, if I have the choice not to go in the water, because I never do.
That's true. You would be fine in Piranha 3D because you would have been on the beach going, oh man, shit looks fucked up out there.
Yeah, and I would have just been like that person with like the sunscreen on the nose and the goggles and just like fully clothed being like, I told you, and that would be my moment.
Aren't you glad we stayed on the deck now?
Isn't that like Betty White in that crocodile movie where she's just like, I'm rooting for the crocodile, but that's her thing. She just stays inside.
Kinda.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie either.
You wouldn't survive Piranha 2 though, because those ones can fly.
No. Oh my god.
So you would have been on the deck all arrogant and then all of a sudden like, oh no.
No. Oh my god. No.
But yes, it is true. I would also survive movies like Jaws and Piranha because I would be on the beach going like, there's an awful commotion out in the water. That woman has no face.
Would that be your actual
line? Go ask her what happened out there. That's crazy. Hey, lady, where'd your face go? Piranhas. Oh, no. Oh.
I think somebody has to write this, like, just word for word what you just said, because that would be wonderful dialogue. The
perspective of a water monster movie from someone who's just like, I'm going to stay right over here, you guys. Where's everybody going? You know what? Probably the sad end story is you just get trampled by the people who are stampeding out of the water.
There's just no hope in you surviving any of these movies.
No, you might as well just not go to any seaside anything.
It's true, because you would have to deal with the horror presenting itself in monster form, and then the horror of people's stupidity.
Yeah, like your sequel to Tremors, which is just what happens when people are trapped on a rock with each other.
Which is a movie I want to see, and I'm pretty sure...
It must exist. It kind of does. It's got to exist. Have you ever heard of a movie called The Ruins?
Yeah.
It's kind of that.
Isn't that what we went to Comic-Con, and isn't that what the guy who played Freddy, didn't he pitch that movie? Because he's like, this is a really great, is it a horror movie?
It is.
Yeah, I remember him pitching this. He's like, if you guys want to see a really great horror movie, go see Ruin, or the whatever it's called. And then since he advised me to see it, I did not, because he's terrifying.
No, thank you, sir. maybe? Yeah, it's kind of a similar idea. It's like four people trapped on the top of these ancient ruins because there's a group of murder things at the bottom. And then also the twist is there's murder things up top, so there's no great...
Yeah, this conversation is making me so nauseous. Horror movies aren't for me. They're not something I can do.
Well... Again, Tremors at least is a nice, it's a horror comedy. It also, it's the rare horror movie that takes place not only during the day, but outside in the sun.
That's true. But
which is
still
pretty rare. But they're also not.
I was unfazed by that.
Yeah, they're also not really going for jump scares because they're giant worms and they don't have a lot of ability to just be like, blah, I'm here now.
See, that would be pretty cool if they remade Tremors as a jump scare movie.
Would it? I don't know.
I mean, they have kind of a jump scare, which is, again, another traumatizing moment where a guy dies. Although, as an actor, it would be totally fun to film when they're in the store and they realize, like, the ice cream thing being plugged in is causing vibrations. And they're like, oh, no, we have to unplug it. And Kevin Bacon's idea of unplugging it is to jump on top of it. That's his way of unplugging this thing. And then one of the guys is just eaten alive, and you watch him just slowly go down.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually is a pretty good jump scare moment, because it does kind of just, like, they turn it off, and they're, like, waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden it comes smashing through the ground. So there's a few jump scares, but it's not, like, jump scares of today where, you know, a loud noise plays because someone's friend grabbed them on the shoulder. And like, hey, it's just me. Like, at least the jump scare is, oh, fuck, there's a worm here that wasn't here a second ago. That sucks.
What was the last movie that... I can't remember the last movie that I saw that had jump scares like that.
Oh, I've seen a few lately. I just watched the new Fantasy Island they did. And there's been a couple others where, yeah, they just fall back on the new Grudge.
No, I don't want to watch that.
It's not good, but yeah, all of their jump scares were just like all of a sudden a ghost that wasn't there a second ago appears right in front of your face. It's like, that's just cheating.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're gonna jump if something appears suddenly in front of you screaming really loud. Like, that's there's no art to that.
You know what it might have been for me? It might have been the what was that series called? It was put out on Netflix last October, The House of Silent Hill.
Oh, The Haunting of Hill House.
That's it. I got it wrong. But I remember there was a lot of jump scares in that, and for that reason, I hated that show.
They were done well, though, if I remember right.
Yeah, I had a lot of issues with that show. There were some good moments, but I remember just like in one of the final episodes, the two sisters are driving the car, and then the dead sister just shows up as a ghost and screams, and I'm like, no, that was not worth your time.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but... So maybe they are doing the ghost suddenly appears screaming thing that I was just disparaging.
That's exactly what they did, yeah.
It's a much better script than The Grudge 2020, so.
I don't think I can watch The Grudge. I don't think I can go out and watch any scary movie now that we can't go to the cinema together. Because you just kind of like walk me through the scary moments.
by reminding you, like, it's not real. This is happening to somebody else.
I can't remember the last thing we saw that was super scary, but you're just like, nope, don't, nope, stop looking, don't look, not yet, not yet. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say the last horror movie we saw slash only one we get to see in theaters this year maybe is Underwater, but that didn't have a lot of blah moments.
That just had a confusing explosion of a human being inside of a helmet that I had to then ask you what happened.
That movie had a lot of, because it's underwater, a lot of, what am I looking at?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're underwater, so things would be murky, but it doesn't necessarily translate to a great experience when you have to sit there and going, okay, oh, they might be seeing it's either a monster or a bunch of seaweed. Either way, I don't think they should go over there. They're either going to get killed or tangled up.
Yeah, that was still a good movie, though.
It was
not
still a good
suspenseful
movie.
In the moment, but afterwards, when you think about it, really, really well done.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
I think, is that our Tremors? I think that's our Tremors conversation.
I think, yeah, there's not really much else to talk about. Except now I just feel like I have to go throw up after this conversation.
They only got a few more minutes to get through, and then you're free to do so. I mean, my concluding thoughts is I still very much enjoy this movie, as kind of what you said. It is a very fun 90 minutes that doesn't, like, the characters are enjoyable. The setting is enjoyable. It's neat to see all these practical worm effects. And it's just a 90-minute, fast-paced, fun creature movie.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of, like, watch it if you haven't. Watch it with somebody else so you can just indulge in the, what the hell just happened with somebody else?
Yeah.
Because that really is what makes that movie experience. And I have to recommend, parents, do not show this movie to your 7 or 8 year old kid.
I mean, I'd like to believe I won't do that, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, not a good moment to just be like, hey, we have to do something. Let's put on a movie to distract our child.
Daddy, snakes are cool. You think snakes are cool? Well, this is kind of like a snake. Let's watch Tremors.
Oh, man. No. I still, as a kid, I remember just burying my face in a couch, begging people to stop the movie.
I appreciate that they apparently went, no.
They didn't. They watched the whole thing.
Good for them. You don't get to dictate what they do.
They were just enjoying themselves.
If you don't want to watch it, you go do something else. Why should they have to shut it off?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. To be fair, as a child, I was immediately afraid to set foot to ground because everybody in this movie just told me, if you did that, you will die.
That's just a good life lesson. That's just a good thing to know. Maybe this is what I'll bust out if either of my kids are ever like, I want a pogo stick. Oh, do you? Because here's what happens to girls with pogo sticks.
And guess what? Kevin Bacon will not be there to save you.
Yeah. You think daddy's brave enough to run outside and save you from the worms? No pogo sticks. Although technically both the girl and the pogo stick are fine, so.
Yeah. Which is why we can joke about it, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but when these things are wrapping up, we take a look at something you are currently enjoying.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, and I don't know. You go first. I got to think about this.
I'm not even sure. A lot of, again, I'm kind of in that position where we've watched movies and TV shows that were all like, fine. Nothing really stands out as, I mean, I'm reading the new Stephen King book. I'm enjoying that, I guess. I don't know. It all goes back to last week where I said, or a bunch of us said, the thing we're currently enjoying is reading. Like a bunch of us are rediscovering, hey, I have some more free time now and I'm kind of stuck inside. Books are pretty cool.
I still can't do that. I mean, my degree has ruined reading for me forever.
That's too bad. Yeah. There are a lot of good books, it turns out.
Stephen King wrote the short story or the novel that the Netflix movie 1922 is based on, right?
Yes.
So did you watch that?
I didn't. I read the book, but I read it a long time ago, so I don't really remember anything about it. And
I tried watching it, and it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I have to go throw up, and then I just never finished it. It was so gross. It was so, 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 so gross.
Huh. Yeah, I think we watched 3 or 4 minutes of it and went, I'm not really feeling old-timey accents right now, and then didn't go back. That is my actual memory of why we shut that movie off, is like, and I can't really deal with people talking like this right now.
Every time you watch something, you have to immediately tell me something so I know whether or not to go watch it, because this was not a good, like, yeah, I guess I have time to watch this. It was not, it was so not worth the horror that ensued.
I kind of want to check it out now.
Yeah, well, get ready for Butcher Knives and Necks.
I'm always ready for both of those things.
I mean, you
things.
Sat through the Saw movie.
Yep. And those are usually not just butcher knives. I mean, they're usually saws.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I don't. So I tried to watch 1922, but didn't make it through it. And then I watched the series Hollywood, and not my thing. And then I finished The Magic School Bus Rides again and loved it.
That's a pretty good palate cleanser, I guess, if you just couldn't deal with the other ones. Just like, oh my God, Lily Tomlin, I guess it'd be Kate McKinnon.
It's Lily Tomlin and Kate McKinnon.
Okay. I can't deal with 1922, so Kate McKinnon, teach me about how blood cells work.
Yeah. Yeah. Teach me about magic and energy and science. And that's what I needed. I needed to go back to childhood favorites.
I wonder if we can try that one again now that my oldest is a little older, because we tried it a little while ago and she was not invested in it. So
you should try it again, and it's one of those things where you force it on your daughter.
Yeah, I've tried that a few times. It's now that she can vocalize when she wants things off. Like before, you could just be like, we're watching Scooby-Doo and that's how it is. And what could she do? But now that she can tell you, I don't want this, and if you still ignore that, go get the remote and turn it off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she can do that now.
So I would say start with the first Magic School Bus, because I hear that really, really young children like that one more. I think that the Magic School Bus Rides Again is a little bit smarter, because they're banking on older kids going back to watch it.
This is going to be the parents going, I used to watch the original and I want to learn now too.
Hey, that's what I did. I powered through 2 seasons and learned a lot.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So your pick for what you're currently enjoying is The Magic School Bus Rides Again.
Which was my pick last time we did this. But to be fair, we did these kind of close together. So.
Exactly. Like I said, this was not originally intended to be the next episode, but you were the one who posted on Facebook that you just saw Tremors. This is on you. You did this.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I have to apparently go watch, what did you say, all 6 other Tremors?
2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And hopefully, if you're lucky, by the time you finish 6, 7 will be out.
Well, maybe that could be like our back to the cinema experience when they open again. Like, we'll just go.
That's adorable that you think the Tremors sequels get to go to movie theaters. They go straight to DVD.
I guess. But you're saying they're good. They should, maybe somebody's going to be like, hey. Or do you think that's why they're now on Netflix? Or at least the first one is, because
they're getting ready.
They're getting ready for 7.
Maybe. I mean, if there was ever a time to do it, Universal looks around and goes, guys, there's nothing. Do you think people will go to a movie theater to see Tremors 7? Let's find out.
I mean, I would. I would like the whole experience.
I would love to go see Tremors 7 in a theater just to say I did it, even though there's nobody out there who would go, oh, that's cool.
Well, I mean, in Underwater, we were just the 2 people sitting in there. There was nobody else there.
We sure were. And that was not long after that movie opened. Poor Underwater.
I think it was the weekend it opened, wasn't it? Or like the
The Monday. It was the Monday after it opened.
Yeah. And nobody was there to see it.
It was a Monday, I guess, but still.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our Tremors episode.
That's it.
Thank you, Kim, for joining me. Kind of spur of the moment.
Yeah, thank you for immediately getting in touch with me to be like, we have to do this. It wasn't even a question.
She's not kidding. Her post had been up for maybe 3 minutes before I sent the message.
And I had finished watching it too late at night. So I was like, who in the heck? Because nobody messages me ever. I'm like, who in the heck is messaging me at this time?
Yo, wake up. You watched that 90 Kevin Bacon movie? I should have made you record right then and there. Get up. We're doing this.
I would have been so ready. I would have been. I had a lot. Except it would have just been me just more so being like, what the hell? What the hell? What the hell?
Yeah, it benefits. You had a week to digest it.
Yeah, so it's a little bit. Yeah, it's tucked in there. I'm digesting it. I'll let it go. my childhood trauma's gone. I'm no longer afraid of it.
Good.
I did a Batman thing, so I'm good.
That's what we like to do here, is make people face down their fears directly. And either they get over it, or we just do it again. So we would have had to do a second Tremors episode.
Okay, I'm so happy. I'm good.
So I'm glad you were able to get past it. Not everyone can on their first try.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it with the Saw movies, that's for sure.
Yeah, eventually we should probably do a Saw episode. Not you, I mean,
no,
this
I'm
show.
Not. Should this should be a you and your wife thing to do.
Oh, that would never happen now. She, once it was revealed that she didn't want to see Seven, it has more and more come out that, like, all of that was just kind of, you know, I went because it was a thing we did. But now I can't even reference those movies. I should be like, no, stop.
Yeah. And rightly so, because you're a maniac is what all of this is revealing.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I have seen all of the Tremors sequels and Saw sequels. That's like a day's worth of entertainment.
That's just a lot of blood.
That's a lot of blood. thank you to Tev Sound for the theme song. Follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams. And I don't know, you did a good job closing us off last time. So now you got to do it again.
No, last time was easy because I enjoyed the movie so much more.
Can you manipulate a quote from Tremors to be about this podcast?
Okay, let's try. Oh, wait, I have to do it.
Yeah, we're all waiting.
You better, Mother Humpin', listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
that's
fine,
it.
That'll do.
I mean, come on, you try. It's hard. It's really hard.
There are only 6 more Mother Humpin' episodes left until episode 100. 6 more Mother Humpin' episodes.
Okay, that was only slightly better than mine, just because you had context.
Yeah, I just stole exactly what you did.
It's true. How dare you?
Good night, everybody.
So for all those things nostalgic, I ask, do we still